Gopi Janava Lava
Yeah. Om Vishnupat Param Hamsa Padavagachara Satharas Shri Sriman is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Adanta Kota Vaishnavrinda Ki. Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki. Prema Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasati Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mathura Dham Ki Navadvip Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jagannath Swami Ki Gangamai Ki Jamunamai Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Nitai Gaur Premananda Glorious the Assembled Devotees, O Glorious the Assembled Devotees, O Glorious the Assembled Devotees. Glory is to Sri Sri Guru, Sri So this morning we were reading from Madhya Lita, chapter 9, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, text number 200. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya
Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Vipra Sabai Sunhi Tanha Kurma Purana.
I think you've had, I think number 224 is on the board.
I was informed that we start at 200.
Yeah, but we repeat the 224.
Oh, is that how you do it?
Yes.
Uh-huh, okay. So, text 200. I'll just read these texts up to 224. Because the general system is that the speaker, he can stop whenever he wants. That's usual procedures.
Please stop whenever you like.
No, but you've got 24 here. Yeah?
You don't have to go that far if you don't know.
Okay. I wasn't going to, that's why I was going to. Anyway. So this is text 20, translation. There among the Brahmanas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Kurma Purana, wherein is mentioned the chaste woman's narration, purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that only two khandas of the Kurma Purana are now available. namely the Purva Kanda and the Uttara Kanda. Sometimes it is said that the Kurma Purana contains 6,000 verses. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, the original, the Kurma Purana, contains 17,000 verses. It is considered the fifth of the 18 Mahapuranas. Text 21. Srimati Sita Devi is the mother of the three worlds and the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Among chaste women, she is supreme, and she is the daughter of King Janaka. When Ravana came to kidnap Mother Sita and she saw him, she took shelter of the fire god Agni. The fire god covered the body of Mother Sita, and in this way she was protected from the hands of Ravana. Upon hearing from the Kurma Purana how Ravana had kidnapped a false form of Mother Sita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very satisfied. The fire god Agni took away the real Sita and brought her to the place of Parvati, goddess Durga. An illusory form of Mother Sita was then delivered to Ravana, and in this way Ravana was cheated. After Ravana was killed by Lord Ramachandra, Sita Devi was brought before the fire and tested. When the illusory Sita was brought before the fire by Lord Ramachandra, the fire god made the illusory Sita form disappear and delivered the real Sita to Lord Ramachandra. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this story, he was very pleased, and he remembered the words of Ramadas Vipra. Indeed, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these conclusive statements from the Kurma Purana, he felt great happiness. After asking the Brahmanas permission, he took possession of the manuscript leaves of the Kurma Purana. Since the Kurma Purana was very old, the manuscript was also very old. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took possession of the original leaves in order to have direct evidence. The text was copied onto new leaves in order that the Puranas be replaced. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then returned to South Mathura, Madurai, and delivered the original manuscript of the Kurma Purana to Ramadas Vipra. When he was petitioned by Mother Sita, the fire god Agni brought forth an illusory form of Sita and Ravana, who had 10 heads, kidnapped the false Sita. The original Sita then went to the abode of the fire god. When Lord Ramachandra tested the body of Sita, it was the false illusory Sita that entered the fire. At that time, the fire god brought the original Sita from his abode and delivered her to Lord Ramachandra. Purport. These two verses are taken from the Kurma Purana. Ramadas Vipra was very pleased to receive the original leaf manuscripts of the Kurma Purana, and he immediately fell down before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to cry. After receiving the manuscripts, the Brahmana, being very pleased, said, "Sir, you are Lord Ramachandra himself, and have come in the dress of a sannyasi to give me audience. My dear sir, you have delivered me from a very unhappy condition. I request that you take your lunch at my place. Please accept this invitation." Due to mental stress or mental distress, I could not give you a very nice lunch the other day. Now, by good fortune, you have come again to my home." Saying this, the Brahmana very happily cooked food, and a first-class dinner was offered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed that night in the house of the Brahmana. Then, after showing him mercy, what's, how do you spell showering?
S-H-O-W-E-R-I-N-G.
Oh yeah, so it's showing him mercy. The Lord started towards the Tamraparni River in Banjadesha. Purport. Banjadesha is situated in the southern part of India, known as Kerala and Kola. In all these areas, there were many kings with the title Padya, who ruled over Madurai and Rameshwara. In the Ramayana, the Tamraparni River is mentioned. The Tamraparni, also known as the Purani, flows through Tarunavelli, before entering the Bay of Bengal. The Tamraparni River is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.39. So I'll stop there. Umagya Timanandasya Dinandana Savakaya Chaksura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Vanchakalpatu Vyastya Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanananam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya
Haribo
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
I was a little bit wondering whether you were still here. Hare Krishna. Nice to be back in your temple here in London. So this subject matter today, I want to talk about in regards to the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This is an interesting passage that we've just heard. Because Ravana himself was demon number one, he was one of the foremost demons that had come to this world to harass the devotees. And it just doesn't seem right that such a big demon would be able to touch Mother Sita, who is purity personified. And personally, myself, until I read this years ago, it always bothered me that such a demon had touched Mother Sita. So, as Lord Chaitanya himself was so pleased to hear this narration, so the devotees themselves, they're also very relieved. Oh, it wasn't the real Sita. It was an illusory Sita. Hari, hari, bol. Doesn't it make you feel good?
Yeah.
Something that's so pure, to be touched by something impure, just doesn't seem right. Just, ugh. Puts you off. And here it is clearly stated that something so pure as Mother Sita Devi is not possible that someone so degraded as Ravana can even see Sita, what to speak of touching her. So in that reflection, I'd also would like to point out that in the same light, Krishna consciousness is so pure and divine that we cannot obtain or perceive or conceive of its power and potency without we first becoming affected ourselves. Sometimes we try to make shortcuts in our Krishna consciousness. Because, of course, we are Westerners, and as Westerners we have been brought up in such a way that we don't want to wait for anything. We want it now. Whatever it is in this Krishna consciousness, I want it now. So we try to search out different means and ways by which we can get the mercy. That we don't have to spend so much time. And all our attempts at that is frustrating. Because how is it possible that we, who are so contaminated, can approach something so divine as Krishna consciousness, devotional service? It's non-different than Krishna. So therefore, for quite some time, we will still be under the influence of the free modes of material nature. Of course, we have accepted the process, we have accepted the path. Krishna says very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita that he talks about this energy of his. He has many energies, and they're all divine, including his material energy. Devi Esha Gunamai, this divine energy of mine consisting of the free modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. We should not underestimate the power and potency of Krishna's illusory energy. Ravana, who was so powerful and intelligent, became illusioned. Then what to speak of us? Lord Shiva even became illusioned at one point. So what to speak of us? The illusory energy is there to test us, to see to what degree we want the divine energy of Krishna and spiritual energy of Krishna. To that degree we can overcome the free modes of material nature. But as I said, we are following the process and it is guaranteed. Prabhupada said there is no doubt that if we follow this process, the sadhana bhakti process, which we are practicing daily, means rising and attending the aarti ceremonies and chanting our 16 rounds and associating with the devotees and taking only prasadam, visiting the holy dhams, etc., etc. There's a whole list of activities which we concentrate on in order to purify ourselves, to become freed from the free modes of material nature and be transcendentally situated. One time a disciple asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, how many liberated souls there are in this world? And Prabhupada surprised everyone who was on that particular morning walk. Prabhupada asked him how many devotees there are in ISKCON. And one devotee said, well, there are 1,000 devotees, Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada says, so then there are 1,000 liberated devotees. He said, you may be a green mango, but you're still a mango. Just that you need to stick around to be ripened. That's all. But as soon as we say Hare Krishna, if you like, yes, then immediately we come into contact with spiritual energy, sat. As soon as we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, or we take Krishna Prasadam, or we come in contact with the deities, all these things are sat, eternal activities, and they have a profound effect on our consciousness. And repeatedly, if we continue, day after day, week after week, year after year, then that process will have a profound effect on our consciousness. I was flying on Emirates Airlines yesterday, coming from Delhi, and I was lining up to visit the bathroom, and suddenly one of the air hostesses came up to me. She said, Hare Krishna, have you just come from Vrindavan? And it really surprised me. You just don't expect an air hostess to suddenly start talking to you as if she's a devotee. And I said, yeah, I've just come from Vrindavan. How did you know about Vrindavan? Oh, she says, oh, I am knowing. And she said, how long have you been a devotee? And I said, how long? And she said, oh, that's a long time. I said, yes, by Krishna's special favor, I'm still trying to serve my spiritual master. But I was very inquisitive to find more about her, so I started to prod. So how do you know devotees? What is your story? And she said that, well, my parents were devotees when I grew up in Krishna consciousness. She was from Serbia, I think, somewhere like that. And of course, at some point, she mentioned how some of the leaders, this was back in the 80s, they had some difficulties, and her parents left Krishna consciousness. But she said, but they're still devotees of some kind. So then I asked her, well, was your experience favorable? And she says, oh, yes. She said that because of my contact with Krishna consciousness at a very young age in my life, I'm able to see things which many other of my colleagues cannot see. And she was still very, very positive, although she is no doubt not practicing, but she was very, very positive. So this is an example of the power and potency of Krishna consciousness, that even if you leave, that influence is still present and will continue to be present for many, many years to come. There was one devotee that left, one of my godbrothers, I won't mention his name, but he had a little bit of a problem about accepting further Krishna consciousness, and he tried all means to try to forget Krishna consciousness. He even went to psychiatrists and hypnotherapists, and he went through the whole spiritual works just in order to forget Krishna. But the end conclusion was he could not. It was so embedded within him that Krishna was there to stay for the rest of his life. We come into Krishna consciousness with a lot of bad impressions. And these impressions are very, very deep. And that's one of the reasons why we have a difficult time in the beginning. We're constantly bombarded with our past, what we used to do and we used to say and used to think. It's a constant bombardment. And we're constantly asking on a day-to-day basis, do I really want to be a devotee? It is not a question you will ask once. You will ask it again and again and again and again, until such time where it will be so obvious that, of course I want to be a devotee. You don't even ask anymore. But that time factor can be many years. In fact, Prabhupada did mention to Shruti Kirti Prabhu that at least 12 years. Said whatever you do after 12 years, whatever you say or do, will have a profound effect on others. Before that, you may say something, but it doesn't carry very much weight, because you have very little faith. But then Prabhupada concluded that a blind uncle is better than no uncle at all, so just continue anyway. Even if your enthusiasm is false, false enthusiasm is better than no enthusiasm. So we perk ourselves up and become happy in Krishna consciousness. We show each other, look, I'm happy. But after some time, Krishna consciousness, all the bad impressions become over embedded by the Krishna conscious impressions, especially your visits to the holy Dham. These are so powerful impressions. Now, even when you try to think of the past in your days of a non-devotee, you just can't remember anymore. Just gone. Their whole this Krishna consciousness is re-impressed in your mind and heart. And this is the process of becoming relieved from the modes of material nature and becoming transcendentally situated. In the beginning, we don't have any taste. When I first heard the Hare Krishna mantra, I was a hippie in my parents' home, and eagerly wanting to watch Top of the Pops and waiting for the number one slot. And when the number one slot came, they weren't long-haired hippies with guitars and the normal drums, but they were shaven-head monks with bells, mridangas, and shaved heads. And my first time, I remember thinking, oh, they're just making some joke here. This is a joke. But it wasn't a joke, and I had to tolerate for 6 weeks the Hare Krishna mantra. That's how I felt. I have to tolerate this. So externally, that's the immediate picture. Externally, I'm thinking, well, what are these guys doing? Couldn't wait for something else to happen as far as number one slot. But the bigger picture, the internal picture, was that Krishna was working on me, as well he was working on many of other souls out there, which it was time for them to hear the Hare Krishna mantra. So, no doubt, within those 6 weeks of tolerating, it had a profound effect on me sitting here today. This is how powerful the holy name is. It doesn't need so much time. And when George said he met the devotees to discuss making an album, he spoke with them, said, oh, our single was very successful, so let us do an album. Why don't you come back to the Apple Studios and we'll do an album? So they did an album together. And again, for some reason or another, I was at a friend's house one day visiting him, and he had some, on the table was one album. And I happened to say, well, what's this? He said, oh, I don't know, someone gave it to me. You can have it if you like. And I took it. And it was the Radha London Temple album, which is now, I guess it's called, what is it called now? Goddess of Fortune. Yeah. So I was playing it, and playing it, and playing it, and playing it. I didn't know I was playing it, but one day I realized I was playing it, so much so that I didn't bother with any other of my records. And 1 year after that, I came to London to work. I got a job going to famous people's homes and cleaning their homes while they were away during the day. And one home that I used to go to was Spike Milligan's home. And Spike Milligan, he very often went to India. I didn't meet with him myself, but I used to speak with his wife, and she used to tell me about India. And it was just a little while after that I met the devotees on the street, and I started coming to the temple. And you all know what that experience is when you first open the door of the temple. You open the door and suddenly this transcendental wave of pure bhakti hits you right in the face. The smells,
the pictures. Pictures, Prabhupada said, they're pictures. They're pictures. What is it? Huh? Windows to the spiritual world. Of course, you know, when we first come, our senses are so blunt. So we see them, but we don't see them. We come to take darshan. We're not really taking darshan. We see some statues. We're wondering, what is this really all about? Your senses are starting to get excited, but you can't understand anything. In fact, for myself, I didn't attend any kirtans or lectures. The only thing I wanted to attend was the Sunday feast. And that was the only thing I could understand. And the devotees understood that, and so they suggested, well, you'd better come for lunch every day too then, if you like this prasad so much. And for 3 months I came just to come and take prasad. And then one day I was going home from the temple, and then suddenly I was on the bus minding my own business, and suddenly Krishna jumped on my tongue. And I started to say the Krishna mantra. And so much that I actually couldn't stop all that night. It was just repetition, Hare Krishna. First I couldn't understand what was going on. I thought some evil spirit was hitting me. And I actually came to the temple the next morning. I said, you know, I have one problem. And the devotee said, well, what is your problem? And I said, well, I keep chanting your mantra. And I can't stop. It is just so, it's overpowered me. I can't understand what's going on. And then a few devotees, they laughed and they told me, well, do you realize what you've been doing the last 3 months? I said, well, I've just been coming to take prasad. But do you know what prasad really means? Prasad is Krishna and Krishna is prasad. There's no difference between the two. Krishna has purified your tongue so much so that he is now dancing on your tongue. Before that he was not interested. You are so contaminated. But the prasad has purified you. Now Krishna is dancing on your tongue. Just keep coming and take more prasad. That wasn't the instruction I was given. There's one story which I want to relate in this connection. That there were two friends who were walking in the town center, and one of them suddenly said, hey, did you hear that cricket? And the other one said, what? Cricket? What are you talking about? Because this is midday, you know, there's sirens, there's people, there's horns, and everything's going full swing in this town center. He said, no, I heard a cricket. So then he started to walk across the road, and his friend followed him. And he looked in the bushes, and underneath a leaf there was a cricket making its sound. And the other man said, wow, you must have superhuman ears. He said, no, my ears are no different than your ears. It's not that my ears are any different than yours, but it's, the question is, what do you want to hear? So then he said, come here, I'll show you. He went back on the street, put his hand in his pocket, took out whole pile of coins and threw them in the air, and they all dropped onto the pavement and made a sound. And everyone within 5 meters turned around to see if it was their money that had dropped. He said, you see? Their consciousness is money,
As soon as they hear money, they're thinking, oh, that must be my money. And they turned around to see. So in that respect, we are also in that particular scenario. Right now, we have this choice. We hear what we want to hear. You may be chanting your japa each day, but there's chanting and there's chanting. As Haridas Thakur points out, that good chanting produces more good chanting, but bad chanting produces more bad chanting. Sometimes we chant so badly that becomes the norm, and we think, this is how I do my japa. Hopefully someone will tap you on the shoulder and say, Prabhu, excuse me, but you're not chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. You need to be more attentive. And when we're more attentive, then that full potency of the holy name has a profound effect on our daily consciousness. We can either see the deities as statues, or we can see them as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You see what you want to see. If you want to see statues, they are statues. If you want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his archa-vigraha form, that will be revealed, if you so desire. Taking prasad is another. We either take prasad or we respect prasad. You take prasad, it's just some food. It's time for breakfast, Hari Bol. Time for lunch, Hari Bol. Or it is time to respect Krishna in the form of prasadam. Hari, Hari, Hari Bol. There's a difference. To taste the untasted. To see the unseen. To hear the unheard. This is Krishna consciousness. We're going beyond the material conception and experiencing transcendence. Preaching is also, we can actually come to the point of reading people's hearts if we want to. There was an emperor, he was getting old, so he asked his son, look, you need to take over this service of ruling the empire. But before you take over, you need to be trained. And I want you to go to one temple. It is quite some distance away, but you go there. You take shelter of the head teacher and tell him that I have sent you to learn the art of being a leader. So the prince, he set out. It was a 2-day journey. When he arrived, he took shelter of the head teacher. I have been sent by my father, can you please teach me the art of leading others? So the teacher said, yes, I want you to go to the forest for 1 year, and I want you to sit and hear. Whatever you hear, come back and tell me. So after 1 year he came back, he said, yes, I've done what you've asked me to do. So the teacher asked him, so what did you hear? So the prince, he said, well, I heard the hummingbees hum, I heard the bumblebees buzz, I heard the wind rustling through the trees. He was mentioning all the normal sounds that you would hear in the forest. But then the teacher said, no, that is not what I'm looking for. I want you to go back again, and this time I want you to hear the unheard.
So the prince was wondering, hear the unheard? What does that mean? But he didn't question too much. He just went, okay, what's the order? Let me see. And for months and months he was there, trying to go beyond what he normally heard in the forest. But nothing was forthcoming. And he was getting a little bit anxious, but still his determination was very, very fixed. I've been asked to do this, therefore I will succeed. And one day he succeeded, and he heard the unheard. You like that story? Huh?
Yes.
You like that story? Nice story, isn't it? Was it? You didn't hear it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just joking with you. Yes. What did he hear? He came before the teacher. He said, "Teacher, I have heard what you wanted me to hear." Oh yes. What is that, teacher? I heard the flowers opening in the morning. I heard the dew on the grass dripping to the ground. I heard the earth warming up, being warmed by the sun. I heard the worms underneath the ground moving. Have you seen this one bird? He's moving like this. And he pulls up a worm. He can't see, but he can hear. Prabhupada mentions the different animals that have their senses are very sharp. He mentions the eagle. The eagles can see 5 miles down. Of course, what is he looking for? A dead corpse. So even though he's got divine senses, he's using them for just to feed himself. So that bird, I don't know the name, but he doesn't see the worm, but he can hear. And he's moving around waiting to get the right place, and then every time he does it, he pulls out a worm. These birds are here in England. I've seen, I had a farm once in I used to watch every morning. So the teacher said, "Very good, congratulations, you have now become a qualified leader." He said, "Because the citizens that you will rule over, most of them will not reveal their heart." He said, "But now that's not a problem for you, because you will be able to read their heart. When we go on Sankirtan, we meet so many different people. And our position as the distributor of Krishna consciousness is to somehow come off our we have a kind of oh me, my problem, this, that. And we're constantly meditating on ourselves, in our position, in our status. But when we go out to preach, we try to leave that back at the temple. Who am I preaching to? It's like you stop someone and they start to give their whole history. So what do? Do you walk away? No, you stay. You hear, but you don't hear. Isn't it like that? You're there, but you're not there, because you're just waiting for the right moment where you can actually present transcendental knowledge. But even those few things that they say, it's enough for you to be able to somehow read their situation, read their heart, what is their need. You're a book distributor, right? You know this? You do this?
Sometimes.
And they wonder, how did you know? How did you know? When I first joined, one temple president, my temple president was giving a class, and I was, in my mind, was being very offensive and thinking, this is not such a big deal. I was very much like that in the beginning, and very proud and arrogant. And such a wonderful class this devotee was giving, but I was so arrogant and proud. And I was thinking that this is not such a big deal. I could do the same. Well, the next morning I got a shock, because that same temple president, after the Mangal Arati, informed the congregation of devotees that I was going to give the class that same evening. And I was shocked that he actually had read my mind. See, Prabhupada could do that. He could actually look into the heart of his disciples and know exactly what's going on. He was right every time. I came up to this devotee, you know, Prabhu, actually, it's okay. I wish to apologize to you. And maybe you should give the class to someone else. Because I'm not qualified to give a class. He wouldn't let out. He said, no, it's all right. Don't worry. All you have to do is just to repeat what you've heard. And you can't go wrong. I still try to insist, no, actually I'm not ready, I'm just a bhakta, what can I say? He said again, you say what you've heard, that's all. That's all you need to do. Well, there was no turning back that evening. In those days we didn't chant Jai Radha Madhava, because we didn't know it. It came later. So I chanted Hare Krishna. I stumbled through the Sanskrit. I even stumbled through the English because I was illiterate. You know, in those days we took so much drugs, we lost all our brain. We didn't have any left. When it came to giving the class, I said, so actually, we're not this body, we're a spirit soul. Does anyone have any questions? And you know, there was not one question. And my face went red, and redder and redder. The false ego just was lifting from this head. You could almost see it. It was such an embarrassing situation. And I vowed there and then that I would never, ever look at one of my seniors and think that I was better than them. Instruction comes through the heart. It's not a mechanical process. All our activities are not mechanical. They're spiritual. Sometimes the devotees say, how can I control my mind? You just got to practice. It'll automatically, we don't need to make any extra endeavors to control the mind or the senses. That will happen automatically through the process of devotional service. So, Krishna consciousness is wonderful. we're so gifted, we're so, what's the word? Blessed and privileged, I'm looking for. Privileged. We're so privileged. We're so privileged to be able to take darshan each day, to be able to chant the holy name, to be able to associate with devotees, to be able to take prasadam, to be able to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 64 items of devotional service, and these five, including visiting the holy dham, they're the most powerful and potent of all the 64 items of devotional service. Sometimes devotees say, oh, you are so fortunate, you are Prabhupada's disciple, you met Prabhupada, and I can speak for myself. I tell devotees, I'm sorry, Prabhu, but I did not meet Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was present before us, but what could we understand in our condition? And especially because Lord Chaitanya delivers the most fallen first, we were chosen. Lord Chaitanya wanted to prove to all the others in the future how powerful his Sankirtan movement is. So he picked out us. Let's get him. Oh, look at his situation. Okay, come here. I can safely say that I was the living proof of life's complications. But Lord Chaitanya was so merciful that he picked me. He wanted to show others, if this guy can become a devotee and become Krishna conscious, well, at least I'm coming close to some kind of Krishna consciousness. If he can, then what to speak of anyone else? So I am the living proof of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan mercy. I would love to meet Prabhupada again personally, because then I would understand who this personality that came before us back in the 70s, who he actually is. And for sure we would act in a much more, much better fashion than when we did in those days. Prabhupada must have tolerated so much from us. But he tolerated it because he knew, he was a visionary, he knew the future. On a morning walk in Mayapur, only one building had been completed, the Lotus Building. The rest was just paddy fields all around. Suddenly he stopped. He said, this is my international headquarters. Well, we looked at each other and was thinking, how this statement can be so true? This is one building here and the rest is rice fields. How can it possibly be an international headquarters? This is how we were thinking. But nowadays you can, well, there is no question. Mayapur is the international headquarters for Krishna consciousness. In those days, at first Mayapur festival, there were 200 devotees. I just came from the Mayapur festival, there are 7,000 devotees. Each year is increasing. And they're just building this temple, which was also predicted by Lord Nityananda to Jiva Goswami. There's guided tours, you can go up onto the construction area. The kirtan hall fits 10,000 persons. Can you imagine being in a kirtan with 10,000 devotees around you? So this building itself will emanate Krishna consciousness worldwide. It's not a question whether Krishna consciousness is going to spread or not. It's whether we're going to have something to do with it. That's the real question. The temple is already there. Krishna consciousness is already spread. Like Krishna told Arjuna, look, all this battle is already won by you. Just be an instrument and get the credit for that. That is what we're doing here. We're instrumental in changing the history of the world. If we don't do it, then someone else will come along and do it. But it's going to be done because Lord Chaitanya wants it. So let us be the instruments. Let us be assist Lord Chaitanya and perfect our life and go back home, back to Godhead. So I've been asked to stop at this point, so there will be no questions this morning. Yeah? Okay, a few questions if there's any, or any comments.
Yes. You talk about the bird thing, hearing the bird, and I also, it's the blackbird, when it rains.
Oh, it's the blackbird.
Yeah.
Does he see the worm? No, he doesn't.
Just
see.
Like, obviously observes by the
ring, okay. See, when the senses become illuminated, that's just exactly what we're like. The senses perceive the things that normally would not perceive. When they're blunt, you cannot see or hear or taste or smell properly. But when they're illuminated, then the senses start doing wonders. They become spiritualized. Of course, we're not interested in picking worms from the ground, but we can pick conditioned souls from different places. We'll be able to perceive the right thing to say and do at the right time. This is what's needed. Yes.
How can we, I heard your class over the, in the Pujari area, how can we protect ourselves from becoming the world that you mentioned that, Krishna consciousness is it's very wonderful and so on, but how can we protect ourselves from becoming the world? I mean, in the Bhagavatam, this pastime, the Dhruvamara, right? When king, his brother is killed by the Yakshas, so he decides to go and to destroy all the Yakshas. Now Swayambhuva Manu had to come and personally say to him, you can't do this, it's against the law. And I was thinking, such a exalted devotee, but yet, in the material world, he became the world that...
Yeah. So that's why the instruction is there that Krishna says you can overcome this divine energy by surrendering to me. But to the degree that we surrender, the tendency is that we divide our service. A little bit for Krishna, a little bit for me. A little bit too much for Krishna. I'll take some back. Give it to me. Until our service is unmotivated, undivided, and and undivided, the protection will be there. There's no other formula. We may look for some other way out, but no. It's Krishna's energy, so whatever Krishna asks, then that's what we must do. So we'll make problems for ourselves, no doubt. I like the English saying, failure is the pillar of success. I'm not advocating here that you go out and fail to succeed. You don't have to fail to succeed, but if you do fail at something, learn from that failure and then succeed. So failure it's got its place in Krishna consciousness. We're all, to some extent, crackpots, right? To some extent, we all have a crackpot. We're not producing the full water level because the water is dripping out. So Krishna is so kind, even us crackpots, he's using us in different ways in his service, so that we can become, as I say, fully ripened mangoes. We're green mangoes right now, but we can become fully ripe ones. The ability is there, it's already within us, so it's just a question of following the system, the practices. Systematic practices, that's what the Nectar of Devotion points out. Systematic practice of sadhana bhakti. And everything is guaranteed from there. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Oh, okay, one more.
Can you tell us some tips that you never mind preaching to, like plan the group or take care of people, how to live there, how to understand?
To read someone's heart, you've got to take your shoes off and put their shoes on. It's almost like doing that. You don't literally do it. It's not like you're on the street and you take your shoes off. Can I have your shoes a minute? So you don't literally do it, but just to give you the example, you have to be free. You yourself have to forget yourself and forget everything about yourself and tune right into the person that you wish to help, that has a need. And you'd be surprised when we have that consciousness how Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they will personally come and direct the whole conversation that you will have with those persons. If we have the right consciousness, we can do the impossible. So it's not, you know, any particular secret that I can give to you. It's all about how you perceive Krishna consciousness to be. What is your perception? The better perception, the easier things will be. You can come to a point where everything's effortless. You've seen book distributors in the marathons. Suddenly they're just going like this. They don't even know what's happening themselves. Whether these books are just going out. It's mystical. Krishna is Yogeshwar. He's the master of all mystic perfections. If he wants to give out the books himself, he will do so. If you are the right person to be the transparent via media. Nothing is impossible. Impossible is the word in the fool's dictionary. It's not in the devotee's dictionary. This doesn't exist. If you have a will to do something for Krishna, to please Krishna, then Krishna will assist. He will personally come and enter into the recesses of your heart, and he will fulfill that desire of yours. No problem for him.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Dai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Mo.
Thank you very much, dear Shanta Prabhu.